And then the evening session, 7 to 9. So there's kind of 4 sessions. And the way I like to teach is I like to lay out some ideas at each of the meditation sessions, so like this morning and this afternoon. And then I like to give an evening talk. So those 3 times I like to put out some teaching. And then basically we'll do sitting and walking practice as the time progresses. I'll just see how that goes. So, many of you have been at the practice for a while now. So are you happy? Does the practice answer your questions? Right? Because if you're trying to do some kind of Buddhist number on yourself from some abstract concept and you're not actually addressing the things that cause you suffering, the reason you actually came to this, then what's the point of doing it? And that happens sometimes. We get caught up in ideas about Buddhism and about spirituality, whatever, and we sometimes forget to kind of go to the very place or ask the very questions that we started with. So basically, the teaching isn't about being happy, but it is about getting through suffering. It's not about being unhappy. So the sense of ease in the heart, the sense of ease in the body, the sense of peaceful coexistence with the way things are, the sense of peaceful relationship to one's fellow human beings, all these are, they're very ordinary things, but they are important, and they're kind of signposts, aren't they? Signposts of why you do this and how it's going. Not that there'll be an examination at the end, and you know, I'm going to check off happiness factors. And the odd thing about Buddhism is that it takes the very stresses and discomforts of life as the focus of edification. That's how you learn. You know, the very things that hassle you are the things that edify you, that teach you. And that's a kind of truism that maybe we get as children already, but it's a very important part of awakening, that we are willing to awaken to the discomforts of our life. Social discomforts, physical discomforts, emotional discomforts, all the rest of it. We're willing to take that on board. So during a retreat, because things have been so beautifully set up for us, people have been so kind and generous and diligent, and many people have worked to make this possible. I've done nothing, actually. I go to weddings and things, so... But now the freedom of this kind of situation is you can just watch flow of consciousness. We don't have to rearrange the seating or the menu, or we don't have to go shopping. We don't have to do all of that. So normally in life there's a lot of attention is just to deal with the worldly matters. You know, you have to answer your emails and you have to make sure that your mortgage is paid and da-da-da-da-da, all the rest of it. So now we can watch stream of consciousness, and that's very important, just as to have the skill of watching consciousness and the way it changes and moves, rather than always be caught up with the objects of consciousness, the people, the temperature, all those different things that we kind of get caught up into. So just to watch flow of consciousness, and what we're observing in flow of consciousness is when does it become a hassle? You know, when do you suffer? Why do you suffer, and why does it come up? And here, like in a retreat, it's not much we can change on a retreat, and it's about as good as we get. I think it's very good, actually, very, very good. So that like when discomfort arises or challenges arise in your own, defilements arise, what do you do with it? Where does your thinking mind go? So monitoring the thinking mind is very important. What is the mood of the mind? If you're watching flow of consciousness, your thinking mind will be creating narratives and stories, okay? But what's the underlying tone of those stories? For instance, if I find something amiss in the monastery and I have to do something about it, okay, but if my mind goes to complaining and I don't notice complaining, then I'm not mindful, I'm not aware. So keep monitoring what your thinking mind is doing. And that's a constant recommendation. And what's the what's the undertone of that thinking mind? What's the mood of the mind? And is it skillful? Is it really worthwhile going there? Is it profitable? Is this way of thinking profitable? Right? So that if our mind moves to unprofitable ways of thinking, and we don't recognize that, first of all, we're just slaves to it, we're victims to it. If we try to get rid of it, that won't work either, because that's another way of unprofitable thinking. But the basic recognition is to see, well, this way of thinking does not lead to the end of suffering. This way of thinking does not lead to my happiness or the happiness of others. Just that basic insight. And then to have enough mindfulness and presence of mind and discernment and intelligence and wisdom to actually begin to notice the underlying tone of the mind, the mood of the mind. So if my mind is complaining about something, about my own practice or about my body, or my mind complains a lot about my body now because. So that doesn't really help my body, but I can see my mind worrying about the body or complaining about the body. That's very unprofitable. And I can see that and say, I don't need to do that. I don't have to pick that up. That's not necessary. And that just that presence of mind, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to go down that pathway anymore. I'm not going to suffer that way anymore. Is adhitana, is determination. But there's a difference between that and just trying to get rid of things you don't like. So a lot of it is around thinking rightly and thinking wrongly. So let's say I feel like I felt a bit nervous about giving a talk at this wedding. And I'm usually beyond nervousness now around talks, but I knew I would be because it was relatives and, you know, a different kind of situation. And my mind, of course, thinking mind, wanted to go to somehow resolve that. But I know now that the thinking mind can't resolve fear. Where you resolve fear is in here. If you bring your attention to the heart and you learn to make the heart a place of mindful reference, you can resolve fear, you can resolve anger, you can resolve a lot of things. If you take it into thinking, you can analyze things and maybe to see where it comes from, but 90% of thinking is just down the wrong pathway. It's just habit. It's just emotional habit driven by all kinds of moods. So to first of all, check out the mood of the mind is the third foundation of mindfulness, cittanupassana. Mindfulness of the mind, what the mind is like. And then to see that underlying mood of the mind, what's it really like to feel nervous, to feel disgruntled, to feel disappointed, to feel like you're not getting anywhere in the practice? These very common kinds of moods. And you'll see if you can just awaken to the mood of the mind and just not run with it with thought, it has no power. It has no power to delude. Only thought deludes you around that. And so feelings like disappointment or discouragement, they come and they go, and you begin to see them as changing conditions. You really do. You see, when you really awaken to a mood of the mind and you just hang in, okay, what's the mood of disappointment feel like? And you stay there and stay there and stay there, it's gone. It's gone. And you say, oh. And your mind begins to abide as the silent knowing rather than the mood itself. But if one just follows the thinking mind, it just goes on and on and on. So is the thinking profitable? So monitoring stream of consciousness, what kind of thoughts are you entertaining during this retreat, during your life, right? Are they profitable or not? What's the mood of the mind is generating? So profitable thoughts. What are profitable thoughts? Thank you. Thank you, Marion. Thank you, Venerables. Thank you, Mom, Dad, whoever. Thank you, right? Thank you. I mean, that's a very profitable thought. But it has to be done skillfully. If I say to you, you should be grateful, we've worked very hard for you to have this retreat, then you feel guilty, right? That's not profitable. But if you just have that presence of mind, say, yeah, I'm having a tough time, but this is an opportunity. So you learn the skill of right thinking. We're not taught right thinking. In university, I was taught much, actually, because I didn't go much. But, you know, we're taught to analyze and so on. But the capacity to know thinking from the mood of the mind, not just in terms of analysis. Like, And what is a skillful way to think and what is an unskillful way to think is hugely important. And just to do that for a retreat, just to have the skillfulness to contemplate right thought. What is right thinking? You know, where do my thinking patterns take me to? Do they take me to a good place or a bad place? So that inner monitoring then has to be one where you take responsibility for the thinking mind and don't project your problems outwards. Right? If I think that maybe tonight it'll be cold, or now maybe, you know, let's say it's cold. That's the only thing I got to talk about right now. But let's say it's cold, and you think the reason I'm suffering is because of the cold. No, the cold is just the cold. It's that way. The reason you're suffering is because you don't want the cold. And when you don't want the cold, you create resistance and so on. But just to know cold is just a feeling. It's just a perception, or a mosquito bite, or whatever, or a fearful thought, or a memory which is very, very unpleasant of some horrible encounter you've had, or that's more difficult. Let's say I've had a horrible run-in with someone, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and that memory comes up. That's just a mosquito bite, right? That's just the cold. It's the same thing, but it's very difficult to deal with because we buy into the memories, and we believe in the memories, and we run with the thinking of those memories. So there's not only the terrible feeling of the memory of being hurt, then there's the running with the thinking. That's unprofitable. It's not immoral, it's normal, but it's unprofitable. It will not take you to the freedom from suffering. So what do? When a powerful thing comes up, you say, wow, this is really powerful. You recognize it. And then you go to the body. So in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, we talk about body and the tendency for the body to feel attractive, to feel pleasant or unpleasant, and the mind, and the tendency of the mind to feel pleasant and unpleasant. And we combine them all together, mind-body experience. So when you feel, if I have a memory of something, like when I have a memory of seeing these young people getting married, they're really beautiful people, and I remember that's a very happy memory. So I can bring that up, and I can actually fill my heart with happiness and joy, gladness. So I can use memory skillfully, or I can be the victim of memory. So I have another memory maybe where someone was really unkind to me, and that comes up, and I'm reborn into that memory, into that storyline, and I suffer. So if you're not monitoring thinking, just trying to get rid of thinking, it won't work. So you have to monitor thinking. You have to be awake to thought as an object and see, where is it coming from? Is it skillful or unskillful? So then you can pick up thinking. You can pick up themes of gladness, themes of compassion, themes of kindness, themes of generosity, themes of gratitude, and so on. You can move your thinking around. You don't have to get rid of your thinking. You can use mantras. You can use the word Bhutto. You can take one of the refrains from the chanting book. You can repeat that. That's all skillful thinking. So if you think a lot, I'm sure no one thinks a lot here, but, you know, just in case someone is thinking a lot, pick up one of the suttas. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied. What does that do to your mind? It calms the mind. So you take unprofitable thought, you say, that's not skillful. You pick up a profitable thought, that's skillful. If the emotional memory is very, very strong, then you go with the body. Okay, this isn't working. This replacement therapy that I'm trying here, that's not working. Okay, so what does the body feel like? Whoa, it really feels tight or difficult. And then you welcome that. Oh, okay. And then that's the way of purification. You know, as all of us we have tendencies, like the tendencies towards fear or anger or greed are not our fault, but they're karmically conditioned into our minds. It's not like if I feel anger at someone, it just comes up. It's not my fault I feel anger. It's just the way the cards have come together. If I hate that person for the next 4 hours, be careful. But there's a difference between hatred and anger, isn't there? For me, anger might erupt, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a karmic energy. But then if I think hateful thoughts, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. If I feel bored and or like I'm not getting anywhere in this, that's a mood, I don't have to run with it with thought. So what is skillful, what is unskillful, how to put something down, how to pick something up. Usually after I give a talk, my mind goes automatically into self-criticism. This is what my mind does. You know, any talk I give, everyone can say, "Bhante, fantastic talk." I'll say, "You don't know." "Bhante, lousy talk, you know." So this is conditioning. That's all it is. It's not me. It's just the way the mind's been conditioned. But I have to be careful. So my mind, you know, I give a talk, do my best. And then I say, dumb joke again, very dumb, or something like that. And no, I'm not going to get reborn into that. I've suffered so much from that. No, I'm not going to. I just try to do my best. And all of us have things like that. And those are not, there's not who you are. Those silly habits seems like who you are, but that's not who you are. You know, you're that awareness which knows change. You're that peacefulness which knows change. You're that silence, that beautiful compassion which knows change. You're not the all that kind of stuff that comes up. But it does come up. It does come up. So you recognize it. Oh, that's just a thought. That's just a stream of consciousness. It's not me. It's not mine. And you learn to practice around those things. All right, there's some ideas. So stretch your legs a bit and then we'll sit now for a while.